Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies and home of the five-star technician, online at cropmetcalf.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and the birthday boy, Johnny Cake Sawville.
Correct. 49.
I did see one tweet at Junks Radio asking the very junky question, birthday buns?
You never know what the future holds, JP.
Not yet is the answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when would it have happened? At 3 in the morning?
Maybe the night before your birthday.
Yeah, but that would have been, if it's technically on the birthday, it would have been past 12.
Right.
12
right.
a.m.
I'm going to say Cake's going to get lucky tonight. I'm going to say he's going to get lucky. Yeah. His wife's going to treat him right.
Kind of talked about his evening, said that they weren't really going out until tomorrow.
No. She's going to treat him right. Valdez is with me. He's nodding his head. Yes.
There's definitely a nod going on.
I don't know
for
enough
Valdez
about like the timeline. And Kurt arrives tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow, back from his trip out west.
Okay, so yeah, he'll have some evening.
Yeah, there's plenty of time.
Is Bachelor never on TV?
Who?
The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah. Bachelor in Paradise is on TV tonight.
So they'll do some bonding. They'll do bonding.
Might get in the way.
Kind of got sucked into that. I used to be very anti that show. This season, kind of in.
Amy will start rubbing his leg while watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah, I think it could get her all
worked up. Look, I'm not willing to throw any cash.
That could work in your favor.
There's only one guy here I'll bet on, and that's AWOD, and I know he's not getting any.
Yeah, you bet against.
Yes. Oh, we bet against that every single time.
Yeah, of course.
So last week, a lot of people were killing me, particularly on social media, because I said, I believe Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide.
Right.
And the autopsy report came out, and indeed it said that he committed suicide. And here's the thing. People will never be satisfied with that, because people who believe in conspiracies, they're going to believe what they want to, and they're going to say that this was, you know, a phony autopsy report.
Sure,
and they're
going
to point to irregularities. They can believe whatever they want to believe. But there are reports of his previous jail stint or prison stint, which was back in 2008.
When he was there for 13 months, and he would just leave during the day.
Sounds like a really tough prison.
Oh, it was a joke. I think they said he took 69 doctor visits, which were like chiropractic visits.
Okay.
So he was going to a chiropractor. He was getting massaged while he was in prison.
Like a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah, he was banging chicks while he was out. Supposedly it was like work release. It was a whole thing. Even this most recent stay, they said he was hiring attorneys to just come and sit in the office with him, or, you know, in some room at the prison. So he'd get to leave his cell, and he would just hire attorneys and pay him their hourly to just sit in a room with him.
Because he's a billionaire. What does he care about money?
Said the little time
get
he
him
spent,
out of the cell.
The little time he spent inside jail, he would often have an unlocked cell door, almost unlimited access to a TV, which showed him buying more than 800 cups of coffee.
That sounds like me at Entercom, like in a month, 800 cups of coffee.
As EB mentioned, he had 69 doctor's visits in 6 months.
That's a lot of doctor visits.
And so many chiropractor appointments, he would sometimes go 3 times a week. Right. That's a lot of adjustments.
Yeah, it tells me that he's not just getting his neck and upper spine adjusted.
And then apparently he bought women's panties while in jail.
See, that's to me the
it's
least.
Called the Drabby.
That's the least surprising news. People are like, why did he buy? What do you mean, why did he buy the women's panties?
Because he can, and he's weird.
Yeah, he's using it to hook himself.
Right.
No, I think there's more to it than that. I think because he was leaving, he was going to his office, and they said that that's where he was having some
relations.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why.
But why would he buy panties? He didn't need to buy panties for that. I'm claiming he's buying the panties for his alone time back in the cell.
No, he was buying like small panties, like for petite girls.
Yeah, like for young girls.
Yeah. Yes.
So, but why does he need to do that? He's meeting
five,
a chick.
You know,
they have their own panties. He doesn't need to buy panties.
Got
he's
a fetish.
Pedophile. He's a freak.
Yeah. He's a weirdo.
And then the U.S. attorney was infuriated because he would get on the phone making telephone calls, web surfing, and having food delivered to him.
Food? Who knew that Grubhub existed back then?
Right.
Delivering right to his prison cell.
He might have been
cell.
Calling, you know, Domino's or Papa John's.
Well, why wouldn't you? If you're allowed to, wouldn't you rather eat a slice of pepperoni than the stupid prison food they're trying to serve you? Of course you would.
I know we have the best country and we have the best legal system in the world, but justice is so not blind. Yeah, I mean, justice is supposed to be blind.
You can
not supposed to care if you have money or don't have money.
Yeah. Yeah. You can finesse your way through the system, it seems. No doubt about it. Cakes and I were both drawn by the...
But what about all you conspiracy theory guys now?
I don't think it's hard to think it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, it's not hard to doctor an autopsy report or have the fix.
There's
could be
nothing
in.
That would ever pass by you to believe that he just committed suicide.
It's not like saying the moon landing was fake.
Like an unedited video.
It's not that hard to jump to the conclusion that he was killed.
Are you open to the possibility that he hanged himself?
I'm more open to it than you are that he was killed. I know that.
I'm open to the possibility, but I'm skeptical. Still skeptical.
I honestly don't care.
I really don't care.
It would be fascinating if he was killed. It would be interesting. But
I mean, I have three college fantasy football leagues that I'm in. I couldn't care less about Jeffrey Epstein and whether he was killed or did it himself. I have bigger fish to fry, so to speak.
Right.
I used to sweat that college fantasy league because I don't follow college football like you do, like Jason does, certainly. And so I don't know what dual threat quarterback I'm going to draft, but Cakes has kind of got me thinking, just auto draft for college.
Auto draft, and then all you're going to do is just pick up guys every single week.
Right. Yeah.
It does. The draft couldn't matter less.
I would think
in college fantasy draft.
Yeah, I was thinking college guys pop up every week.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, because
especially
freshmen,
the first few
weeks. They don't want to give a freshman running back the rock early, and then all of a sudden they realize he should get the rock.
Yeah, and then there's going to be sophomores and juniors, though, that never played before, that all of a sudden it's going to be their time.
Right.
It'll be their turn. Cakes and I were both drawn by the Cedric Benson story, which is just awful, right?
It's
former
tragic.
Texas star, played 8 years in the NFL. Had 3 years where he rushed for over 1,000 yards, dies in a motorcycle accident over the weekend. Just awful. I believe his girlfriend was riding with him on the motorcycle. She died too. Apparently a van pulled out of a driveway and obviously didn't see it or wasn't able to stop in time. And it was like a fiery crash. I mean, it was awful. But I think Cakes and I both had the same sort of similar reaction. And I know this is going to be awful, but it's just like when I see motorcycle accident, I just cringe because... You're kind of putting yourself out there you're so vulnerable to that.
I feel bad for him, obviously, his girlfriend, his family. It's risky behavior riding a motorcycle. It just is.
So risky.
I mean, I don't have any sort of numbers to back me up, but I have to think that if you're involved, I know the numbers for people who are killed in auto accidents are much higher because more people drive in, you know, regular vehicles than they do in motorcycles. But I have to think the ratio of people killed on motorcycles as opposed to in cars has to be much higher.
I would think. You're just
has not, to be.
I know one of my great fears is, so my son, he's a thrill seeker.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to say this, hopefully he's not, but if he told me one day that he was buying a motorcycle, it would kill me.
It would be terrifying.
It would kill me.
It would be terrifying news if one of my kids came home and said, "Dad, I bought a Harley," or I bought a Kawasaki that goes 130 miles an hour. By the way, saw not one, two instances that just this weekend alone of people going clearly over 100 miles per hour on a motorcycle on the ICC in Montgomery County.
Yeah.
Just wanton disregard for their safety and the safety of other people on the road, by the way, and we're zooming in and out of traffic.
Plus, I just call them dumb. I've never been on the ICC where I didn't pass a cop.
I was doing cops 70.
Sometimes. Can't catch them.
No,
I know cops have thanked.
I think sometimes they don't even pursue them because they know they can't
catch
them.
They've thanked motorcycle guys and said, "Thanks for stop pulling over," because I think it's hard for them to catch
them. I was doing 70, and the guy pulled away from me like a blur.
Right.
Like I could barely see
him. He was doubling
his speed. He might have been going 120.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, years ago, I saw basically somebody die because I didn't actually see it. But literally a motorcycle passed me that was going like 130. And then within a minute, there was a traffic snarl. And sure enough, I think the next day we had a caller call in. So the guy like flew 50 feet like into the woods, had a crash and died.
I mean, it's horrible. I know a lot of people enjoy the experience and, you know, and they're law abiding and everything. And you know, it's just, you know, it's just a risk, I guess, that you're some people are willing to take.
I think luckily, because I'm a big giant scaredy cat, I think I've scared my kids into never ever wanting to buy or ride on a motorcycle ever in their lives. If my kid came home and said, "Dad, I bought a motorcycle," I would be thrown for a loop. I would be shocked.
Yeah.
Unless it was just my kids being
a complete rebel. If I say
that
I'm adamantly against something, my kids go the other way.
Right.
So the only way for me to get them to not buy a motorcycle would be to probably purchase one for them.
Right.
Have they been on your scooter, on the back of your scooter?
Now, interestingly enough, I do drive my youngest or my middle to the pool. That's my summer activity.
They wrap the arms around you.
We're going 30.
Do they have a
helmet? We're going like 25. Yeah, they wear a helmet. I wear a helmet. Yeah, sure.
You got to have a brain bucket.
But even then,
I
do feel a little skittish about it. Now, we're going like 1 mile on a one-lane road. And we're going 30 miles an hour. But even then, I do feel like this is somewhat crazy to do it.
It's sad. He was only 35 or 36 years old.
Yeah, 36,
gone.
It's the worst. And then I saw the story of a doctor. You guys will probably see this if you peruse any of the sort of like the rags. Some doctor in Spain was taking a picture on a cliff. He's 34 years old. He fell 80 feet to his death.
Oh, that's terrifying, too.
He wanted to get a picture of, I don't know what it was, something below him.
Was he taking a selfie?
I don't think it was a selfie, but he wanted to get a picture. Probably was some sort of selfie.
Where's my guy Sebastian Maniscalco says, taking a lonely?
Exactly.
This happens every day on the way home from work. I take the GW Parkway almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's a stupid traffic detour that I don't know about, and then all of a sudden I'm on 66 and I'm driving through Falls Church.
Right.
Drive through GW Parkway, and there's a scenic overlook. It's not enough for people just to stand at the rock wall and look at the scenic overlook. They have to get up on the wall and take their selfies or take their pictures. What if you just stumble?
I've never even cared.
It's every day.
Is it a
every
steep drop? I have no idea what it is, the scenic overlook. I have no idea.
I mean, it looks down to the Potomac River. I've never
so
stopped there.
It's a huge drop?
I would assume.
Yeah.
I would guess.
He's assuming there might also be grass on the other side of the little wall.
Now, I've never stopped to check it out, but I'm guessing it's a pretty big drop.
Yeah.
Would never do that.
No, if I see scenic overlook, the last thing I'm going to do is pull over and scenically overlook.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
It's scenic enough from the road.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're just not going to slow our rides down. We're in such a rush to get home to take a nap.
Such a rush.
No.
After a hard day grinding for 4 hours.
To get home.
Now, one other quick story I wanted to mention here is, so those are kind of sort of morbid stories, but big shout out to Steph Curry, who the news comes out today is, I guess he's donating 7 figures. So that Howard University can add golf.
Wow, that's a nice move
add
by him.
Add golf to their Division I roster of sports, and they're going to use it over the next 6 years to raise money so they can eventually be self-funding. But apparently he ran into a student at Howard, and they got to talk, and he said, "Hey, let's play some golf sometime." I don't think they ever played golf, but he mentioned to him that I would have gone somewhere else, but Howard doesn't have golf.
Hmm.
And that really made an impression on him. So Steph is donating 7 figures.
It's big.
Right? Over $1 million to self-fund and get that program going.
Valdez
That's
wants him to
cool.
donate $0 to the Howard football program so the Terps can stomp them in 2 weeks in the opener.
Well,
that is a cool move.
I mean, no disrespect to Howard. If we don't beat the Howard, we're in trouble. If we don't beat the Howard football team,
it's
we're
real
in
trouble.
Deep doo-doo.
Absolutely.
Got to beat the Howard.
Got to get that
we gotta beat the Howard
against
football
the Howard.
Yeah.
Got to beat them.
If we don't beat them, man, we are.
Yeah, then that's a long season in College Park.
All right, remember, coming up at 8:45, your chance to win tickets to Federated Auto Parts 400, which is at Richmond Raceway, coming up September 21st. That's at 8:45 on the Jocks.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Three-man show today. Jason this week is moving his daughter to Virginia Tech.
Oh, that's right.
And then, of course, Friday, EB moves his son to Marist.
That's correct. Big drive up to Poughkeepsie.
Are you bringing the whole crew? Is it just you?
It's Steven, myself, and my youngest are driving up on Friday, and then my middle daughter's taking the SAT on Saturday.
Uh-oh.
So that she,
first time?
I think it's our first official. She's taking all these classes.
She need any points or pointers, tips?
You want to give her some?
The guy who almost cracked four digits back in the day. I was thinking tantalizingly close.
I think she'll be okay.
Okay, good.
No,
how
she's doing that.
How do you
think
you would score if you took it now?
Way worse.
Way worse.
Yeah. Way worse because any math that I...
Should your vocabulary be better?
I think my vocabulary is probably better.
But your attention span's worse.
Any math score that I attained, I would get a zero.
You get zero on the math.
I'd get a zero on the math.
You get zero on the math. And I honestly think you would struggle. I think you would struggle to pay attention.
You still do the bit.
You're sharper back then, too.
Yeah, definitely sharper. Do you still do the bit where you fill in, like, B is the most common?
I always thought C was the most common.
C is the most common? Okay.
Maybe that's why you didn't crack 1,000.
Well, aren't you supposed to skip over stuff you don't know because you get deducted points?
I took that wrong test 30-plus years ago.
They have all kinds of strategies. I will say this. The strategies worked a lot. My son's scores went up significantly from taking class, and my daughter's seemingly, with her practice exams, have gone up significantly, too. So the strategies that they teach these kids definitely
That's
help.
Funny. My SAT test prep consisted of playing ping pong with JP in his stupid garage.
It wasn't nearly as important when we were growing up.
There's no prep.
Yeah. My mother handed me an analogies book. And she said, there's your prep.
Right. Get like, after it.
What was that, like one section of one part of the SAT?
I mean, it was just easier to get into college back then.
No.
It's so competitive now.
Eric.
Like a 4.0. 4.0 when we were in high school?
Oh,
those were the super nerds.
That's Mount Everest.
Those were the super nerds.
Unattainable.
4.0 is commonplace now.
Right.
Well, it's... 4.0 is bad because you got to have like a 4.6.
Right.
You got to have all
your
AP credits.
You got to take a billion AP courses.
Yeah, you got to have
all that. I think at QO, when my daughter graduated, there were like 20-plus students who had perfect records for 4 years of college. So they were all in that 4.5.
So how do they pick a valedictorian?
I don't think they had one. I think they had like 20.
You have 20 valedictorians?
I mean, they all didn't speak.
You can't have 20 valedictorians.
I just know on the flyer or the pamphlet, which you get, which breaks down what's happening at the graduation, there were a bunch of people with asterisks that had perfect records in high school.
Probably never missed a day either.
4 years.
Probably didn't. They're
all
grinders.
A's, including all of the AP courses.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm just thankful.
I can't relate.
I'm old.
Yeah.
So one reason why it's good to be old. You don't have to deal with all that anymore. My kids now, they do extra community service. They do extra, like you need whatever. Mm-hmm. They would do 250, 300 hours because they want the extra tassel or whatever you get at graduation.
Right. That's right.
I forgot.
It's been a couple years. But yeah, you get to like
I know my daughter's going to get the extra tassel. I don't know if my youngest son is going to. Yeah. I don't think he's shooting for that, all that extra.
For Fortnite.
Hopefully. That'd be great.
I hate to make a blanket statement, but I think generally speaking, the guys don't go for those extra tassels
probably
like the girls
not.
Do.
Not
I mean,
as
you
much.
Know, I'm sure there's plenty of guys that do. But for the most part.
My son has lost it for Fortnite. He has rediscovered, and I'm shocked by this, Minecraft.
Really? That's
going,
back?
It's going back into the Minecraft.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's just.
My kid is just, it seems like every time I catch him playing video games, it's NBA 2K, is that what it's called? Whatever it's called, the NBA game. And he doesn't even really play like the NBA. He's playing on the streets. He's playing on the playground.
Right.
You said that's where he's picked up moves.
He literally
he doesn't watch regular
practices
NBA.
His moves from the video game, and then he institutes them like on the driveway.
Right.
He wants to be skipped to my Lou.
Well, he just... He mimics the stuff that he sees in the video game.
Well, he sees a James Harden step back, which
he's
never seen in real
life. Yeah, and he mimics that
life.
On the driveway. Sure. Not from what he's seen in the game, but from some kids doing to him, on a pickup court somewhere.
It's funny. So we're with a kindergartner yesterday, and he was very curious, asking Dylan about Fortnite. And Dylan basically said, look, I was into Fortnite a lot And my son's very specific. He was like, in May through July of 2018.
Right.
And then I quit for all these months. And he's like, now I kind of play it 3 days a week.
Right.
Which that's not
very
much. Scaled
back.
But he's playing in some tournament. He's grasping. On Thursday, he's playing in some tournament where he could win $15,000.
Nice.
I was like, well, dare to dream.
Hey.
Qualified for some tournament, win. It's not as much as Bugga, who apparently won the $3 million. That 16-year-old kid that won a Fortnite tournament for
$3 million.
I always
like to grasp at the lucky table at MGM National Harbor. I hope lightning strikes and I'm in on a bad beat jackpot. So I appreciate the hustle.
You act like it's grasping when you tweet where you're sitting down, and then 20 minutes later, they announce the lucky table.
Everything is above board, as far as I know. No, nobody's in cahoots with anybody for the lucky table.
But my son just got the latest Madden. Yeah. You think about, I mean, John Madden probably was approached. Didn't know anything about video games at all.
Right.
Think about that. Now, he made great money. He was an NFL head coach.
Oh, he didn't and he make was... great money as an NFL head coach.
Okay, but I'm just saying, compared to, you know, your standard accountant back in the day, an NFL head coach, when he was coaching, what, in the 70s?
Right.
Was making more money than your average Joe, right?
Right, sure.
He made good money there. Then he makes really good money when he gets in the TV game Pat Summerall. And some guy says, hey, we'd love to slap your name on a video game and just say boom.
Right.
Just say a couple of corny things that you like to say. And he probably didn't have any idea what the guy was talking about.
How much
about,
he's made off of that franchise over the last 20, 25 years.
And
he has to have made hundreds of millions of dollars,
and everybody buys the new ones. Like, that's my son only plays really two or three things. So it's not like I buy him basically one video game a year, maybe two. But he gets every Madden. So he's had Madden 13, 14, 15, 16, just keep going, right? Whatever it is. And Drab does the same thing. Like the trendy thing is to complain that it's not even really updated. You bought the Madden just because it's Habit,
what are you
right?
saying? Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's been the thing about Madden for the last 25 years. It's just the same game every year with
nothing
updated
as
roster.
Real. It's just updated roster.
Well, they have no competition because they have an exclusive deal with the NFL, so nobody else can put out a video game.
Right.
So it's just they're competing against themselves. That's the only option.
I mean, the graphics get better over time. Like, if you were to look at this Madden versus 10 years ago, you would notice anything. But year to year, there's not much of a difference. They update the players.
Well, just like
John Madden, I don't know what he makes off that game, but I mean, kids nowadays, they have no idea who John Madden is, but they're buying Madden football.
How would they know?
You know, speaking of exclusive deals with the NFL, and dating back to our conversation last segment about not understanding how Josh Gordon was reinstated after, you know, being suspended for years and suspended multiple times, you would have thought he was certainly at his last, had his last chance. If he was suspended again, it would, you know, that would be it for him. And now suddenly he's back. Somebody's pointing out, and I guess our buddy Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk mentioned this, that with the XFL out there, the NFL doesn't want some of their premier guys to jump to that league. So, like Tariq Hill, the conspiracy theorists out there are saying part of the reason why he's not available out there, not suspended, because the NFL doesn't want them to jump to the XFL. You don't want Josh Gordon to jump to the XFL? You got to reinstate him. You don't want Tariq Hill to go to the XFL?
Would the XFL be willing to pay Tyreek Hill the sort of money he can make in the NFL?
Well, no, but if he's banned from the NFL, he's available.
If he can't earn a paycheck.
It's not that. It's just that if you're not available, if you're banned, well, then
you're
going to go.
I doubt the NFL looks at the XFL as much competition.
It's
Landry Jones was their premier signing.
Is that a conspiracy theory?
Landry Jones.
It's not a conspiracy theory.
I kind of like it.
It's not a bad theory.
I'll kind of buy into it.
It's not bad.
If I was the XFL, I'd be offering a contract to Ray Rice right now. See if he wants to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 40 now, right? I mean, it's like we missed the Ray Rice bandwagon.
Yeah, I think the NFL would be okay. They'd be like, oh, Ray Rice, you want to go play for the XFL? Go right ahead.
Right.
Best of luck to you.
Bunch of guys with pot bellies.
But that makes sense to me about Josh Gordon. Because why?
It does.
How on earth?
Also, was he actually suspended this last time? Or I thought he just like walked away from the team.
By the way,
for,
I don't know
mental health.
I don't know that Josh Gordon.
No. I think he tested positive.
I don't think he's putting a lot of butts in the seats. I don't think people remember the XFL are saying, "Oh man, we saw Josh Gordon. I can't wait to go to this game because Josh Gordon is on the roster."
No, and remember, we had Oliver Luck in studio with Pep Hamilton, and their whole thing wasn't necessarily about big names. It was. They were trying to say they're going to have a great product. We'll see.
Speaking of names, Can they start naming their franchises already? Can we figure out what the XFL Washington franchise name is going to be? And Drab T-shirt, following up on that, can Seattle name their NHL team already? Well, I mean, when is that going to happen?
I think not until next year, I think.
I mean, what are they waiting for?
Why are you so invested in the Seattle hockey team's
Because
team
I like to know what teams' names are going to be. That's all. I don't really care about them.
It's for a potential beanie or something down the line?
Yeah, you never know.
Right.
Maybe I want to get my friend Drab T-shirt, a Seattle fill-in-the-blank NHL franchise team name. I want to get you a nice beanie.
Didn't they have, like, a finalist name team name for the XFL?
I don't know.
Or team names they registered or something?
I'm gonna look into don't that. Know, Drab. I'd like some information on that.
I'll get back to you.
If you can provide it.
All right, so we wanted to get back into the Nationals. Nationals win yesterday in a slugfest. They put up a ton of runs over the weekend and did take 2 out of 3 over the Brewers. So they're in a good spot. 5.5 back in the division. That they may not win. However, in the wild card, they get a 1.5 game lead over the Cubs. And then the next three teams, including the Brewers, are 3.5 back. So it's certainly not over, but they're in a good position. Max Scherzer is supposed to return. The offense is humming, hitting a bunch of home runs. Ryan Zimmerman's even supposed to come back soon.
Forgot about him.
So they're going to be fully loaded offensively. The problem, which has been going on since the first week of the season, is the bullpen. And though they have addressed the bullpen, trade deadline, bringing in 3 new relievers, now all of a sudden, the closer, that is a big question mark. They've put Sean Doolittle on the injured list. Why? Because he's been getting lit up. On
you're,
Saturday
you're not
night,
buying that he's got a real knee issue?
No. Yeah. On Saturday night, he gives up 3 home runs in the span of like 10 pitches, blows a 3-run lead, and that has been going on for a month plus. His ERA over his last 10 appearances, 12. He's been on pace for 72 appearances this year. That's going to slow down because he's not going to be pitching the next 10 games. Number one in the league with 49 games, which he's finished. Who do you blame? Do you blame the player himself, Sean Doolittle? Who, look, he's not executing on some of these pitches, but he's got kind of a dead arm. Do you blame the manager because he's throwing him out there too much? A lot of fans over the weekend blaming Davey Martinez, saying that he was throwing him out there in 3-run leads earlier in the season, putting him in the bullpen.
It is
interesting. Be up by 4.
People love to beat up on Davey. I mean, when anything goes wrong, they love to blame Davey. Now, they might be right. They might be right in this instance because I'm not sure, and I'm no expert. I'm just a jerk who watches the games at home. But I'm not sure that Davey adjusted quite well enough to the moves that they did make at the deadline because they brought in some healthy reinforcements.
And even before that, along the way, bringing up like Tanner Rainey and dumping some of these guys who they were blowing saves left and right earlier in the year.
But they've gotten pretty good here, and yet Davey still has seemed insistent on any time there was a save situation, barring some sort of circumstance where Doolittle's pitched like 4 days in a row or whatever, that Doolittle was going to close it. So, you know, it might be a 3-run game and, you know, Strickland could close it out or Hudson could close it out to give Doolittle an extra day. That wasn't happening.
And now that's recently. That's
and maybe
since the
that's
trade
where
deadline.
He should have been. Well, that's where
and then
that's where Doolittle has suffered
right.
the most.
And then if you look at it overall, you know, he's said that he's, you know, tired. He's wearing down. It's obvious. The home run that he allowed to Ryan Braun on Saturday night, which was the third home run he gave up that inning, was a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. That's not Sean Doolittle-like. He usually is right mid-90s.
He's usually, I'd say 94.
Right.
94, 95.
Okay, so it's a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Yeah. He's lost something there.
They should have just put him on the DL for the IL. Say, he's tired. His
That's
his
pretty much
tired.
What they're doing.
Yeah.
His arm needs a rest.
I don't know what dead arm is, but he sure seemed to have it.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. So do you blame Doolittle himself? Do you blame Davey
for why would I blame Doolittle?
Misusing the bullpen. Yeah. Maybe he's just not locating his pitches, whatever. Or do you put some of this on Rizzo? And I would say I do put some of it on Rizzo in that, like, Davey, at the beginning of the year, I'm sure he'd have loved to have had Trevor Rosenthal every once in a while to use as the closer. It just didn't work out with Rosenthal. They banked on Rosenthal being kind of that spot closer. To use him on occasion. In fact, we even talked about it with him, and I think with maybe even with Rizzo in spring training, that maybe sometimes they would use Doolittle as the eighth inning guy, and they would use Rosenthal as the closer. That blew up in their faces, and they had to scramble, and they made these moves. And yes, they addressed it in the midseason, but point is that they had to use Doolittle so much because there was Dreck around him, and right. That's partly on Rizzo.
I think Mike would be the first one to tell you that he's responsible for the guys that they have on this roster. He's the one that believed in them and gave them the opportunity, and some of them didn't work out. Happens
every
year.
I know you love Bear Claw, but I mean, how many times did Bear Claw or Grace or these guys just blow games?
Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of the guys that they signed it just didn't pan out. So I think Mike would bear responsibility for that. I think
if they entered the season with the bullpen they have right now, they'd probably be,
let's say,
within a game or two of the Braves instead of 5.5 back.
Oh, absolutely.
If not, have the division lead. Because we've talked about it. It seems like when they would lose a game, when they lose games, it's always on the bullpen.
It's a common thread that runs through the season.
It's very rare that the starters just get shelled.
At their lowest, they were 19-31. I'm going to venture to say, if they had this bullpen, at the very worst, they'd be 25-25 or something like that, whatever that equivalent record was. If that was 50 games in,
that's
they were
correct.
19-30. Yeah, I'd say that at worst, they'd have been 25-25 if they had this bullpen.
Six games better, you have a division lead.
But it took tweaking.
Yep.
But it took tweaking.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Sean Doolittle has been placed on the injured list for 10 days. We'll see what happens. Cakes mentioned this earlier in the show. David Martinez has said that he's told Doolittle that he's going to be the closer no matter what. If they use Hunter Strickland, I'd be a little more flexible. Of the course, next days, and he goes 3-for-3 on saves and is dominant, or if they use Hudson or whoever they use, that's probably going to be your closer.
I'm not sure. I think it's going to be a closer by committee down the stretch. That's what I see. Maybe Doolittle gets the majority of it, but he's not going to get 100% of the three-run leads.
800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next and give you a chance to win those NASCAR tickets here in the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to hook up caller number 10 at 800-636-1067 with a pair of tickets to the Federated Auto Parts 400 at Richmond Raceway September 21st. You're also automatically in the mix for your chance to win the grand prize. Includes upgraded tickets and a pace car ride-along. Tickets for the race on sale now at richmondraceway.com. Those are courtesy of Richmond Raceway. So call in now for your chance to win.
We were talking about the Nats and bullpen issues in particular. Sean Doolittle, the closer, who has struggled mightily of late. His ERA in late July, not that long ago, was 2.72. It's ballooned to 4.33. In the matter of like 10 pitches, he gave up 3 home runs on Saturday. And if you were watching the game, they kept going to a shot of Davey Martinez and the pitching coach, and they just looked exasperated.
They look that way every time they go to the bullpen.
Especially because they had come back in that game already a couple of times.
Yeah.
And took a lead.
Well, look, they say what they want. He's our closer.
Yeah.
We have full confidence in him. They know it's butt dicey every time they go to him.
They might as well just...
And by the way, Doolittle knows too. Yeah. You can see the uncertainty in his own face.
Well, because he said that he's been trying everything. He switched his weightlifting routine, which is not, it's not like he's trying to get jacked. He does a maintenance routine.
No, but they're
routine.
Trying to tweak anything that they can.
He's changed things. And we got a caller here who does mention something that happened during the season, which I do remember.
John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine this morning. I just wanted to mention about 6 weeks ago, Sean Doolittle changed his delivery because he didn't want to get charged with a balk. And I think
that was
that's
more than 6 weeks ago. I feel like it was about 2.5 months ago. Like that toe tapping thing that he was doing.
About 6 weeks ago.
I think it was
after
the All Star game.
Okay. You think that's contributed to his loss of velocity?
I'm quite. I'm quite sure it has contributed to the mechanics of his delivery of the ball.
It's possible. Yeah,
maybe he's a pitching expert. We don't know his background.
I thought he did that like 2+ months ago, where he changed that toe-tapping thing. Remember Madden was protesting that he was balking or whatever he was doing. But that, I feel like that was like at least 2 months ago.
He's
well
kind of,
before the All-Star break.
He's kind of had a down year all season long, even if you eliminated the most recent struggles.
He hasn't
which have
been quite as dominant.
Right, which have been spectacularly bad. And part of it, you know, in that Mets series, for example, he had a really bad one. And I remember looking at the numbers and it was like, well, the Mets owned him. I think at that time, three of his four, or maybe it was even four out of five blown saves were all against the Mets. And I was like, well, maybe just the Mets have his number. He just struggles against the Mets. But now it's everybody. Everybody's hitting Sean Doolittle.
Yeah, and that's why they shut him down.
And see, I don't have a problem with the philosophy, which you seem to have a problem with, that he's just pretty much a one-pitch guy.
I do. And by the way, I did notice in a couple of these last outings, he was mixing in more breaking balls, more off-speed stuff.
Okay, because he's grasping. Because I don't have a problem
well,
with the one-pitch guys.
I think it was
the
correct approach.
Because I think there have been closers for years that have been one-pitch guys. Some of the greatest closers ever, whether it's Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman, they have their go-to pitch. It's not like Trevor Hoffman was throwing four pitches.
Right, both those guys,
he's
I believe.
A change-up guy.
I believe Trevor Hoffman's in all of it. Those guys are like Hall of Famers.
Understood.
Okay, Doolittle's not that.
I know, but my point is that you can be a guy.
If you're
who's successful.
A Hall of Famer. It's, you know.
Okay, I haven't studied him, but I don't think Aroldis Chapman throws five pitches. I think he throws gas.
Yeah,
those guys come in, they throw gas.
I just think he's a little bit too reliant on it, especially when the ball doesn't appear to have a lot of movement.
I might have two pitches. I might have one that, look, yeah. You got your bread and butter, work in one other pitch.
He's got a couple other pitches. He doesn't use them much.
No, he had lately he had been using them a little bit more. I had noticed that. But, look, there's no denying when he's pumping 90-mile-an-hour fastballs and the guy usually sits 94, something's going on
there.
If it's not just pure fatigue, it's dead arm, something's going on. And I think that, you know, explains the lack of production. The question will be, how does Davey adjust when he comes back? Let's say he's on the DL for 2 weeks or so and they rest him up. Is he going to be the primary guy or is he going to rotate him? I'd prefer a little rotation.
I think it's dependent on what happens here in the next 10 days. Look, if in the next 10 days they have four save opportunities and two of them are blown, one by Hudson and one by Strickland, then it's just going to be a total crapshoot. If one of those guys takes control and you're like, man, that guy's got amazing stuff. Maybe it's Tanner Rainey. I know it's not going to be, but whoever it may be, and they take the bull by the horns, isn't that the cliche?
Yeah.
And they give
you three. Take the bullpen by the horns?
Right. They give you three or four saves. Are you going to roll with that guy? You're going to stay with the hot guy. Could you imagine the criticism? Let's say it's Hudson. Let's say Hudson gets three save opportunities and just
goes three for three.
Three for three.
No drama.
Maybe gives up a couple hits, but has, you know, whip under one. Everything's looking good. And then Doolittle comes back and he hands Doolittle the ball the first chance. And everybody's going to go, what is he doing?
I think he's going to handle Doolittle the ball when he comes back the first chance. I do. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to do it every time, but look, if there's one thing this team is, they're probably
loyal
to a fault.
They're in a battle for a wild card.
Yeah.
They're in a battle for a wild card.
I think he'll consider it. I don't. If another guy's red hot, I think he's going to say, look, Sean, we have to do this for the best of the team.
Right.
We don't have to coddle you and your feelings.
Dude, they kept
throwing. We have to do it for the team's
best. They kept throwing
best.
Rosenthal out there when it was obvious he couldn't throw strikes. They kept going to that well.
Not that many times once he came back from the minors. Didn't he only get one more appearance?
No, but if you look at overall, he never had control of his stuff all year, and they kept putting him out there.
Yeah, but after his minor league stint, it was like one and done.
They kept throwing Sammy Solis out there. There are guys that they keep giving Matt Grace chances.
Yep. I understand.
Unbelievably. I think it's because they draft Grace? I think they drafted it and groomed him, and so they're just partial to him.
Look, sometimes you believe in a guy's stuff, and it's not working out, and they probably don't want another Giolito situation. I haven't followed what Giolito's done since the All-Star game. I know he made it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to give up on a guy too early.
The other part of it is how much of this like crazy home run ball year that we're having, how much of that is a factor? I mean, balls were flying. Now, it was hot, but balls were flying out of the park this weekend.
Yesterday, I mean, I was at the game yesterday. Ridiculously
I mean, how
hot.
Many guys had multiple homer
Matt
games
Adams,
this weekend?
Matt Adams crushed his home run, but some of them, like just as you saw the ball off the bat, like Robles hit, I think, a home run to center field.
Yeah.
It didn't look like it was struck that well, and it just kept going and going. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like at least four or five guys had multiple home run games this weekend.
Well, there was a night last week, I think it was Thursday, where nine guys had two home runs.
Two or more. I'm telling you, four or five just with the Brewers and the Nats.
They're playing with Super Bowls.
Let's go to Mike in Laurel. Mike, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm going to tell you, watching the Yankees back in the day and watching, like, the Red Sox with, even though I didn't like them, Papelbon, one thing that you noticed is batters knew what was coming, and they feared the closers. They didn't want to see Mariano. They didn't want to see Wetland. They don't want to see Chapman. And I'm not, like, pointing them out because they're the Yankees, but I'm saying these are some of the guys that are very, like you said, one pitch. You knew he was going to throw you the cutter. You still couldn't hit it.
Yeah, but
you knew when it was coming. You might as well just say, here comes the cutter.
That's a Hall of Fame pitch.
It is. But
okay.
The point is,
Doolittle
didn't
have that. Doolittle's got a 94-mile-an-hour fastball.
Wetland was the same way. John Wetland was the same way. Jonathan Papelbon is the same way. The guy in Houston right now, he's the same way. They're not Hall of Famers either. But the bottom line is there's a level of fear or respect, if you will, that I don't think Doolittle gets.
All right, so what do you do moving forward? What would you suggest for the Nationals, who are a wild card team, probably going to be playing for the wild card game to advance, hopefully, to a series? What should they do moving forward?
Honestly, I agree with you guys with the closer by committee for now. Until Papelbon, Doolittle gets that attitude back about himself. Like, come in, I'm going to shut you down. No matter what you do, no matter who you throw up there, I'm going to shut you down. And I don't see that.
I don't know if it's attitude. If he's throwing 90, I don't think that's attitude. That seems like it's a dead arm.
It could be. I mean, it's a combination of things. It's not just like a linear. If I flip this switch, it's gonna happen.
He's never pitched as frequently as he has this season. He's never pitched as many innings or on a pace to pitch as many innings as he has this year.
My guess is if it's legitimately a dead arm, that thing's not going to heal and come back in 10 days. I feel like this season's shot for him. He just looks that way. He needs a break. He needs an extended break. That's what it appears.
What's the probability or the percent chance that it's all about his knee, which is what sent him to the IL?
This much.
Zero.
I'd say it could have 10% impact on him. I mean, if your knee's not right.
If you're not driving off of it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be part of it. But I think clearly it's more than that.
Yep. 800-636-1067, you want to chime in? Coming up at 9:20, Nick Costas is going to join us, betting insider for Radio.com. Here on the Junkie.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.